Hi, this is Alison from Sanctuary. Today I'm reflecting on the hellfire preaching of John the Baptist, as described in the Gospel according to Luke. So buckle your seatbelts and let's begin. Some years ago, I saw a woman in a car park smacking her child. And as she smacked, she yelled, "We do not hit in this family. We love." It reminded me of those ostensibly biblical parenting models in which cool and collected parents maintain discipline by spanking their naughty children and then lovingly use the moment as a teaching opportunity. Because the people being hit are children, and because our society doesn't rate children's experiences very highly, we adults can miss the contradiction here. Yet if we substitute women for children, perhaps things become clearer. Even if it's just a smack, there's a mixed message going on. That is, there is a fundamental disjunction between hurting someone and loving them, between creating a climate of fear and shame versus nurturing a trustful environment where all people, not just the powerful, but all people can flourish and grow. And yet this fundamental disjunction between love and violence is something that many people accept when it comes to parenting. And perhaps this is because they also accept it when it comes to thinking about God and God's Son, Jesus the Messiah. Even the prophet John, who foretold the coming of the Messiah, proclaimed this mixed message. "One is coming," he says, "who will offer forgiveness and show love and justice and mercy and compassion, especially to the most vulnerable. This one will gather up the wheat, the good guys, the quality, into the granary, which is his kingdom. Yet," says John, "this same one will winnow out the chaff, the bad guys, the riffraff, the sinners, and burn them with unquenchable fire." And this, says John, is good news. Do you hear the disjunction? John is predicting a Messiah who is both forgiving and judgmental. Forgiving and judgmental. He's both generous and vengeful. Loving and violent. In Matthew's account, John rightly identifies Jesus as the Lamb of God, but here Jesus sounds less like a lamb and much more like a dragon, blazing with anger and burning everything in its path. So what's happening here? I think it's at heart, it's that John has only partial insight. He's a mighty prophet who, in line with biblical tradition, proclaims that the coming Messiah requires justice, mercy, and compassion, especially for the poor. And this description is certainly true of Jesus. But John is still locked into other traditional thinking about what it means to be Israel's Messiah or Saviour. And this other aspect is the source of the disjunction. Israel had a long history of attributing war to God's purpose. 3 minutes in the Hebrew Bible will show you that. And what it means is that the phrase "God's wrath" invariably means military violence. And in John's time, Israel was under Roman rule, and people were longing for freedom. They were looking for a new David, a warrior king, who would drive out the Romans and clean up the temple system from corruption and collusion with foreign powers. And into this context, John predicts a Messiah who, although forgiving, compassionate, merciful, and just, will also re-establish Israel's sovereignty through the fires of judgment and war. If you count yourself as one of the good guys, then this is great news. You will be justified and vindicated and liberated, while those bad guys over there will be judged and punished. The tables will turn, and those crosses will no longer be festooned with Jewish guerrilla fighters. Instead, the tortured bodies of Roman soldiers will line the roadside. However, if you're not one of the good guys, a woman perhaps, or a child, an Indigenous person, a migrant, or someone with a disability, someone identified as other, or outsider, or enemy, someone in short who is never one of the guys, usually visible only when scapegoated, and usually bearing the brunt of war, then maybe, just maybe, this vision of a violent and punishing saviour isn't good news at all. And yet Jesus is good news. For when Jesus came, in his presence, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have good news brought to them. So in some ways it was just as John had predicted. And yet Jesus appeared to gather up everyone. He spent time with women and children. He gave the voiceless the gift of speech. He ate with sinners and outcasts and those on the margins, and he brought them into loving communion with him. He told stories where the bad guys were the good guys and the good guys were confused. And he reached out to enemies without judgment, only love. Traitors, collaborators, even Roman centurions all came into the orbit of his passionate concern. His approach was so unexpected that later John sends a plaintive message. "Are you the one?" he asks. "Or should we wait for someone else?" Because Jesus is fulfilling only half the prophecy. Sure, he's gathering the wheat into his barn, but there appears to be no chaff. Where is the thunder? Where are the fires? Where are the judgment and punishment and violence? It seems, in fact, that the only thing that Jesus is winnowing away is any idea of a judgmental, vindictive, and violent saviour. Jesus' approach was scandalous, and it's still scandalous now. Like Israel, and like John, we largely expect a God with two faces. Such a two-faced God will uphold all our prejudices and fears, and will save us, but judge them. Forgive us, but punish them. Be gentle with us and be violent with them. But this is not how Jesus does things. Every week we affirm that Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and in him there is no darkness at all. There is no darkness. There is only light and truth and love and forgiveness and welcome for the world, for everyone. Jesus doesn't show a different face to different people, one loving and one violent. Instead, he has integrity. And so his one and only face shines with love and only love as he draws all peoples to himself. Not just the Israelites, but the Gentiles too. Not just the good guys, but the bad guys too. Not just the men, but the women and children too, and not just my people, but your people too. So if you're seeking a saviour who will love you, but who'll justify your fear and hatred of the Romans, or Jewish people, or gay and lesbian people, or Sudanese gangs, or Muslim asylum seekers, then look somewhere else. If you're seeking a saviour who unlocks your voice, but who will burn all those opinionated women and Indigenous people and people of colour at the stake, then look somewhere else. If you're seeking a saviour, he'll lead you to flourish, but who will punish and destroy all those right-wing conservative nutjobs, then look somewhere else. And if you're seeking a saviour, he'll accept you and the people at your church, but will bar the door to all the gay people, all the trans people, and all the people who disagree with your particular theology, then look somewhere else. The Jesus revealed in the Gospels is not the one you are seeking. He is not the one. But if you're looking for the one who takes away the sin of this world, of us and them, who reaches out to the marginalized, heals all comers, and transforms bitter enemies into friends, then come. If you're looking for the one who knows what it is to be a victim of violence and to be wounded and thrown outside the city gates, then come. If you're looking for an end to human violence and a beginning to human flourishing for all people, not just the powerful, then come, for Jesus is the one. Yet come knowing he will turn all your expectations of judgment upside down and inside out. For in this family, nobody hits, not even God. It's not how we usually do things. In fact, it's a scandal. But as Jesus told John, blessed is anyone who takes no offence at me. So do not take offence. Instead, trust in his integrity, trust in his compassion, and trust in his love. And with his one face shining through your own, forgive, cherish, and love all peoples in the joyful confidence that his way truly is good news for you and for everyone. Thanks be to God. Amen. That's all for today. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you another time.